You're listening to Robert Kelly's
You Know What, Dude?
On the Riotcast Network, riotcast.com.
What's up, YKWD fans? I'm going to give you my dates for the month of January so you can come see me live do my stand-up comedy. I'm going to be at Side Splitters in Tampa, Florida, the 24th, the 25th, and the 26th. And Gotham Comedy Club at the end of the month in New York City, the 31st, the 1st, and the 2nd. So get your tickets now. Go to my website, robertkellylive.com, and just hit buy tickets. Or get my award-winning iPhone app, Robert Kelly Live, and go to the dates, and again, hit buy tickets. It's as easy as that. If you have an Android phone, go fuck yourself. No, I'm kidding. Just go to my website and buy the tickets. So share this, like this, tweet this, bring your friends, get the fuck out to one of my shows. Later.
All right, I'm doing this intro on the fly. I'm walking the streets of New York. And fucking Tuesday, and it's 20 below out. My fucking hands are freezing. I don't have any gloves. I'm going to a meeting with Travel Channel people about a potential show, and I had to get this goddamn intro in. So here it is. Oh, I'm freezing. This week's episode, Thursday. Special episode, special edition Thursday with me, Joe DeRosa, aka Dangerous Joe, is back. It's a fucking classic, people. Me, Joe, and the editor of Cheat from Simon & Schuster, Michael Zurban, aka DJ Plumpanickel. Really interesting show. Very funny. I wanted to do this. I wanted to have Mike on and talk about the book and the behind the scenes and all the shit that went on with it. Give you a little insight. I know we promoted the fuck out of it for a while, but we had to. I know it gets aggravating to you motherfuckers. But that's what we got to do, man. I'm going to die out here. So make sure you check this one out. It's a funny one. For an hour and a half or so. It's crazy. Motherfucker just walked by me. I want to fucking punch him in the face. Fuck. I got to get out of the city. I'm done with this city. I got to move into the country. Fucking cocksucker pointed at me. Anyways. It's a great episode. Check it out. I'm in Tampa. Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Thank God I'm getting out of this fucking cold weather. So if you're from Florida and you listen to this show, you better come to Tampa Side Splitters and see me. Unfucking believable. I love that club. And enjoy this episode. DJ Plumpanickel. I'm fucking freezing. Ooh.
Hey, gang. This is Colin Quinn.
This is Jim Norton.
This is Dennis Leary.
This is Opie from A Lot of Things.
This is Bert Kreischer.
Stan Cook, and you are listening to Robert Kelly's You Know What, Dude?
You Know What, Dude?
You Know What, Dude?
Ippy bippy baya, ippy bippy boo. Dippy dippy daya, yabba dabba doo.
Dude!
This is Robert Kelly's You Know What, Dude?
You Know What, Dude?
This isn't going to be the old big ass 5 to 8 people on the show all screaming over each other to get in their fucking funny ass one lines. A little different. We're going to slow it down. This is going to be an extra podcast I'm going to put up during the week for you guys. I asked my editor, Michael Zurban from Simon & Schuster, to come on. And of course, my OG original motherfucker, Joe DeRosa. Here he is right now. Joe DeRosa to come on and sit in on this show. It's a little different than what we've been doing recently, but I'm fucking loving it. So it's good to have Joe back. Yeah, man, you can grab a mic. They're all on.
Which one should I sit at?
Anywhere you want, Joe. You're fucking OG, dude. You're original gangster.
I like this chair the best. It's the most comfortable.
Hey, then that's your chair, dude. That's like, you. Listen, man.
I feel like we're far away.
We're far away, but we're close. That's your chair, buddy. We're doing a little intro right now.
Yeah, I came up here just talking by yourself.
Yeah, it's called an intro.
Since when?
I don't know. I started doing these intros, these little minute or two intros at the beginning to explain what the fuck's about to go on, who's on the show, so that they can have a little insight so they're not wondering, who's that guy? Sometimes when I listen to radio or listen to these podcasts, they're, who the fuck is that? If they know who's on, they can kind of put it together visually in their head beforehand, and they kind of know what's coming, so it's a little, it's like a preview.
Yeah, I got you.
Yeah,
A lot of guys do that little intro thing.
Yeah.
That's the thing I always never wanted to do. Like, when I think about doing a podcast, I'm like, man, I would hate doing those fucking intros.
Yeah, well, you know what? I don't know. I just started doing them. I started putting them in the front. Because, and I start the show, you know, when everybody's here, you know, I just hit the button.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, you guys ready? I stop that shit, too. When I get in the room, like right now, we're just going. The show has started.
Do we have to stop?
Nope.
To separate the intro?
No. Mike comes, the buzzer's going to go off. We're going to let him in. He's going to come upstairs, and that's it.
Where is he?
He's coming.
He was supposed to be here already.
Yeah, he was supposed to be here a quarter of.
Yeah, well.
And he's texted me, said he's on his way down. So, look, that everybody's late all the time. I expect that from people, except...
I was on time.
Joe DeRosa, that's
seven
right.
On the fucking dot.
You're fucking, that's why you're Joe D, man. That's why you're fucking Joe D.
Woohoo.
Me and you respect time.
Yeah.
We really do.
Because it's other people's time you got to respect.
Yeah, well, I think it's, I learned it in AA. You know, my sponsor and shit told me that. I went to that meeting, that Monday night meeting at, I think it started at like 7:00. Over at my sponsor's house. He was an iron worker, big motherfucker, had like catcher mitt hands. Mm-hmm. And you had to be on time for that. And you know, he used to tell me, it's respect for yourself and others. It shows disrespect. You don't care. You don't respect the other person if you show up late. You're like, fuck them.
Yeah.
And it was a meeting with like maybe 5 to 9 guys, the same guys for 5 years. 5 years. And I was 17 when I started going.
Jesus.
And I went for 5 years straight every fucking Monday night. It's like another life to me.
Did you cry when you left?
No.
Because like you had formed such a bond with these guys?
No, I didn't. That's the sad part about me. I can cut that fucking arm right off.
Yeah, apparently.
Yeah, I learned to do that in juvie. And, you know, you go into a juvie jail or a rehab or a foster home, you're gone. Mm-hmm. So these people that are your surrogate family, mm-hmm. they're just gone. So you cut them out and you cut that cord. You burn that wound with some gunpowder so it fucking stops bleeding.
Right.
And you move on.
Yeah, I got you.
Which is a shit way and fucked me in my relationships later in life. But, you know, yeah, like when I worked with the retards there for...
Mm-hmm.
Was it 3 years I lived with these guys? As soon as I was done, gone. Bye.
Really?
Never talked to them again. Yeah, it was this weird, this fucked up thing that I was, the ability to shut shit down. Give me a water too, brother.
Yeah.
Or you know what? Yeah, give me a Diet Coke right on the door. You got a beer. If you want a beer, there's beer.
Nah, I'm not drinking beer right now.
What is up? Everybody's fucking not drinking.
No, I'm drinking. I'm just not drinking beer.
All right, well, excuse me, alcoholic.
Yeah, I'm not a fucking pussy.
Oh, my God, dude. What the fuck? I told you I'm in AA.
Yeah, not you.
Why? Because I'm in AA?
No, I mean, a guy that's got a problem, I respect that. But these fucking pansies in comedy these days anymore. Tired of reading about Saturday Night Live in the 70s where they're doing, like, cocaine races off the fucking dressing room floor. And now every comic I meet in this business is like, you know, I don't drink. I just feel it's better. Go fuck yourself.
Yeah, but Joe, you can't. I mean, people died, brother.
Yeah, that's how it's supposed to be.
What do you mean?
You live on the edge. You know? I'll fucking go out. Let's do it.
Come on, dude. There's other ways to go out now. You can bang chicks without condoms and fucking risk that AIDS. Get that herp. Get a baby.
Yeah,
you can roll the dice that way, dude. You can roll the dice with your health like I'm doing. Maybe fucking eat one too many pizzas and fucking have a nice heart attack in a fucking La Quinta Inn in Tampa. You know what
That's
I mean?
That's how sad it is that everybody that dies now, it'll be like,
oh, I know,
like food heart attack in a La Quinta instead of like there was traces of whatever in a system. Yeah, you know what I mean?
Yeah, instead of killing themselves from fucking heroin or drugs or some nice alcohol overdose and a high speed chase with the cops in a Ferrari through the desert.
Yeah, it's the way to do it, man.
It's not, Joe. Listen, come on, son.
No, listen. I don't think you should fucking drink to death, but like these fucking pussies, man, it makes me sick. Guy's 22 years old, 23 years old. I don't think I'm going to drink anymore. I got a little crazy last night. You're supposed to, you fucking dildo. You're 23. That's when you're supposed to do that.
You should have never left college. You really shouldn't, dude. All right, look, bro. The commitment you have to being this person, right? Now, don't forget, Joe, you quit drinking and quit being a fucking piece of shit. You quit being a food addict every fucking 3 months, too.
Oh, yeah, I know.
What are you talking about, then?
This is how it works, though. When you're in it, you're in it. This is when you're in it, you're in it.
So the next time you say to me, I'm done, you're really not done.
Well, I haven't said I'm done in a long time. I've said I'm taking a break.
You've never said you're done.
No. Years ago, but then I learned better to not.
Wait a minute. What do you mean you've learned better?
That, you know, you should never say I'm done forever. You should just say I'm done for right now.
Why?
Because you will fail and you'll go back to it. You probably. Let's put this way. If you do fail, then you look like a fucking asshole. You know, and then you know you can fail, and then you're like, fuck it, I got off for a few days, I'm going back, it's okay.
Yeah, but you can say, don't say you're done forever, just say you're done for a minute.
Well, that's AA, dude, one day at a time.
One day at a time, but you're done. You're done. AA is not, first of all, I think you're kind of... You're misrepresenting AA. AA is I can't drink anymore forever.
Yeah.
I can't drink one day at a time forever.
Right.
Okay. So one day at a time, it brings it down to that just so you can deal with it psychologically. And that's kind of with anything. But,
right.
I mean, you can't drink anymore. You can't drink because you can't handle it. You have a problem drinking. Do you have a problem drinking?
No.
Wait a minute.
I'm great at it.
What do you mean you're great at it?
I can handle it.
I can't wait to play this 10 years from now at your fucking first chip meeting.
You almost said funeral. Said funeral. And you, that was a nice save, dude. Yeah. Jesus Christ.
My first chip meeting? Yeah, like that.
No, I don't.
Hang on one sec. That's him.
Okay.
All right. So we have Michael has entered the room. Michael Zurbin, the editor from Simon & Schuster and the editor of the widely successful, popular Cheat a Man's Guide to Infidelity.
Yeah.
Written by Joe DeRosa.
You and
just
Bill.
Joe DeRosa. That's what I say.
Yeah, he wrote it.
Mm-hmm. Joe wrote it.
Yell at him.
But welcome into the room. We were just talking about... I already kind of entered the show before about, you know, you and who you are and what we're going to be talking about. But me and Joe got off on a tangent about alcoholism.
Yeah.
Did you go to college?
Yeah.
Did I?
Yeah.
Yeah, I went to
college.
It
was a dumb question, I know. But so, I had to ask.
I've got glasses.
You have glasses? Yes, you do. And you have a sad look in one eye.
That's true. Actually, I was going to say right when I came
Eat the mic.
Bring it. I just want the photograph.
No, I swear to God, you got to eat the mic.
Well, I was going to say, back in college in Pittsburgh, I went on WRCT Pittsburgh 88.3 FM.
Right.
I was a DJ. In fact, I called myself DJ Plumpernickel. And,
God.
Boy.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
You've got a nice radio voice.
Well, thank you.
You do have you have an NPR voice.
It is an NPR voice.
Yes.
That's like a $4 word voice, I think.
It's a great... You have a great voice. What was your name again? One more time?
Perspicacity. Michael Zurban.
No, I know your name, you fucking asshole.
No, you're DJ Dave.
Yeah, you're DJ.
DJ Plumpernickel.
Oh, God.
You know, I love Plumpernickel.
That's the name of the show. That's the name of the show. DJ Plumpernickel.
No, that was just my name. The name of the show was, well, it varied, but at the end it was called Petrichor. And that is the name for the smell after it rains, you know, where it smells fresh and clean and new outside.
Right.
And that comes, it was a new word created, I think, in the 80s by a couple of Australian researchers who discovered and named this smell. And it comes from, it's not an actual Greek word, but it comes from two Greek roots, petros, meaning rock, right, and ichor, meaning essence. So I was DJ Plumpernickel hosting Petrichor, the essence of rock.
Oh my God!
Yeah, that was horrible, God, wasn't it?
I've never seen Joe. It looks like he's about to attack you. But you loved it at the time, right?
Oh, of course! It was like the most meaningful thing I had ever done up until that point.
That is actually, it's kind of meaningful. It is kind of. I just named this. You know what, dude?
And just, well, there's a lot to it.
If anybody should be Plumpernickel in this room, it should be I should be DJ Plumpernickel.
There was a lot of weight to what you said. Did you think it was cool, though, or did you think that was funny? Like, were you being kind of ironic when
Petrichor?
Yeah.
Well, I think that it was just cool. It was cool to me. You know, I like words, and I like that smell, and I found out what it meant, and I thought, oh, you know, I was looking for a name for my show, and I played a lot of rock music.
Right.
And, you know, I thought that would be it. But actually, one semester, when I was going through what might be described as an emo phase, I named it Petrichor Asunder, and I have no idea why, but that was a part of my life.
Keeps getting worse.
This is the fucking fucking nerdiest YKWD I've ever done. I mean, we've done some nerdy shows, me and you, Joe. This is, you just, Mike, you are next. You are Jedi nerd.
Yeah, this is beyond regular nerd shit.
We were talking about.
And you know what's worse?
What?
I am so embarrassed by revealing this that I have begun to sweat and I'm fogging up my thick nerd glasses.
You are sweating, Jack.
I love it. Give him a water. Can you give him an ice water out of the fridge?
Yeah, please, an ice water. I'm parched.
Yeah. We got a fridge here at the studio. Anyways.
It's really wonderful. I'm glad you've wallpapered it with old posters for cheap.
It looks good, right?
Yeah. I wouldn't want you guys to forget that you wrote this thing.
No, not at all.
I need to take one of these.
Did you just say not yet? As if.
No, I didn't. He said that. I didn't say it. I'm actually going to take one of these tonight because I'm going to put that right when you walk into my apartment.
I have a specific one for you.
Why?
Because two of them are fucked up. One of them's mine and one's yours.
Oh, okay, good.
The backing isn't. Well, one's immaculate, which is mine.
Right.
And then the second one, which is immaculate, almost, is yours.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay, and then the other two are kind of fucked up on the back. Right. But anyways, Mike, we were talking about, before you walked in, about alcohol and being a drug addict. Joe, I'm recovering for 28 years for drugs and alcohol. And, you know, I'm pretty much a sex addict and a food addict, too. But, you know, living amongst the fucking regular people.
Right.
But you, he was talking about that, you know, he's just getting sick and tired of the pussies giving up, like in this business, like, you know,
it's over.
Gone. I mean, I'd imagine. And to answer your question, you asked me a very important question that led us into this.
Yes,
but I didn't get to answer it.
Please answer it, Joe.
You asked me, do I have a problem with drinking? I said, no, I'm great at it.
Yeah.
And you kind of snarked at that.
Yeah.
Like, what's that mean? What it means is I don't get into fights. I don't get out of control. I don't black out. I don't fall down. Right. I handle my shit. Most of the time, people can't even tell when I'm drunk. And I get up in the fucking morning, and I'm not really hungover. Like, I am good at drinking. I know how
and
to do it.
I did. I remember you said that, and I said, I can't wait to play this almost at your funeral, but I almost at funeral, but then I switched it up to your first year, Chip.
Yeah, thank you.
When you get your first, I'm glad to be sober for a year, and I hand you that chip, I'm going to hit it. Like in a shitty comedy club, and they're going to play you fucking saying that.
I have a 30-day chip.
You do?
Yeah, I use it to open beers when the top is too, when the tab is too close to the.
I can't.
So what are you talking about for a night?
That laugh used to shut down the podcast, by the way. Remember that?
Yes, I do.
Did you have a party like that in college?
Occasionally. I mean, there were, for me, it was a lot.
Did you ever have like a night of like, Dungeons and Dragons and.
No, I am a nerd, but I was never a D&D nerd.
Never?
No. I played Magic the Gathering at the Shellcrest Swim Club in Wilmington, Delaware when I was 12.
Oh my fucking God. what is it called?
Magic the Gathering.
What the fuck is at the mall?
No. At the swimming pool.
So you didn't swim?
Well, during Adult Swim, you would go out and you'd be like, "Oh, I'm going to tap my 8 mana and play the force of nature."
What you don't know. Yeah. You don't know what Magic the Gathering is?
No, because I'm a fucking alpha male and I have leather jackets.
Dude, if you had a neck beard, you would totally fit into this world.
I know. I am. You know what? Can I just say something? I wish. Back in the day, around sixth grade, when I had nobody and I was sleeping in the basement out of depression, and I was just about to start using drugs and become a punk because I met Dickie Sewell and Scott Kelly that drank and fucking beat people up, and I wish I met somebody like you, Joe, or you, Michael, and I could have played the magic rim of fucking life. What I don't know what it was, just some other kid that we could have went and had fucking some type of snack. And played some games,
dude. I always tell you, if Bobby was the kid that they shipped off to the farm, you know, like some kid, like they did do that with my nephew. Like
I got shipped off to a farm.
Well, if
that's what got me sober,
right?
That farm. When I worked on that farm, it's when I finally got the animals, Joe.
Right,
got me sober.
But if you would have went
when I was
young, I mean, yes. They would have sent you to the farm young,
yeah.
You would have been like, you would have been writing poetry somewhere. It would have been a whole different thing.
Yeah,
it would
he's
have
got
a
an
whole
artist
different.
Soul.
I do.
Bobby
Kelly. I do have a
and he
something
would have had a spirit
me.
Vision of a small goat.
But here's why I got all of us together tonight. You know, I wanted to talk about the book. Mm-hmm. You know, we did it. It was a long fucking road. You jumped in halfway through. Mm-hmm. I would say around halfway, right? We had another editor.
Yeah, I'd say, it was about halfway.
Halfway through, we had an editor.
You guys had written a full draft.
Full draft.
Or what you considered to be full.
What we thought. This is what Mike, man, did we not like you. When Mike stepped in out of nowhere, our other editor got fucking canned or left or whatever.
No, she took a great new job at a different house.
Okay, so she just said, fuck it. She got a better job.
Right.
And Mike walks in. And we thought we were done with the book. We never wrote a book before.
No.
We thought we were fucking geniuses. We were this is done. We said yes to all her notes or no. We did that little thing, that little checklist. We're like, good, this is done. Yeah, wrap it up. Get some shit on it.
Remember when she told us too? She's like, I think it could use like maybe these extra chapters. And we're like, no. And she was like, all right.
Yeah, because she knew. In hindsight, though, she knew she was probably going.
Yeah.
She knew, like, if she was staying, I don't think she would have been like, okay. You know what I mean? But then Mike comes in. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Now, and he gave us all this extra work to do. Mm-hmm. And we took offense to it. Like he was fucking us, but he was literally
Did you even read the manuscript when I gave it back to you? Or did you just read the note that I sent? And you guys said, oh no, this isn't going to stand.
Which time that you said that fucking manuscript came back 8 fucking times.
Yeah.
An email that said, we're almost out of the woods, guys. I wanted to burn the fucking woods down. Holy shit.
The first time.
I read it. And then I swear to God, I read it.
Because we had a phone call.
Come on, dude.
After you guys were. You guys were
Joe,
upset.
I read.
All right, fine.
And I, by that point, I think I was upset. I don't even remember.
Yeah.
And I was like, who are these guys? You know.
Yeah.
And I think some lines got crossed. I thought that you guys were too busy to come say hello to me.
Right.
We couldn't hash this out in person.
Yeah.
And Billy was over in the West Coast, which was making things like difficult for us to get in the same room at the
Still
same time.
Still is.
Well, you know, I heard he went to Australia.
He came back. He went there for a week.
Anyways.
Yeah.
So, go ahead.
I'm kidding. So, we have these crossed wires of miscommunication or whatever.
Yes.
And then we finally got on the phone. I think that, that your agent had written to me or I had written to the agent.
I'll tell you what it was. You ready? I talked to Joe and I said, Joe, we have to sit down face to face with this guy. We need to meet him because you don't know who somebody is until you shake their fucking hand and look him in the eye and sit down and talk. It was like, we're dealing with this person we've never physically met ever. So I'm a quick judge of character. I know Joe is too because of what we do. It's I'll meet you in 2 seconds and know if you're a fucking hunk of garbage or if you're full of shit. And it's like, let's meet. We got to meet this guy and sit down with him. And I did read the thing and his notes. Look, he wanted to cut, you know, a lot of shit out.
Yeah, I know.
And it, but his note, after I read it, I was like, I talked to my wife. I was like, it makes sense, but I don't know enough about a book to know what the fuck's going on. If this guy's, so then it was like, me and Joe were like, let's go meet this guy. Mm-hmm. And that's when they set it up. And I think when we sat down, first of all, Simon and Schuster, it's just offices. I thought it was going to be, you know, walls and secret passageways. And I thought it was going to be like, you know, like crown molding and, like, you know, like shit that, you know, like in like in 48 hours.
A light switch in the room that we were meeting in.
What's that?
What's in? Wait, hold on.
Like, you know, these big rooms or these old money rooms. You know what I mean? Like on Fifth.
Like you thought it was going to be like Masterpiece Theater. Like there's like a fireplace. And
yes. Rooms. Yeah. I got you. Like we were going to go into his office and there was going to be a dog.
It's like when you go into a synagogue, they give you a yarmulke. Like you come into Simon & Schuster and they give you an old blazer and a pipe.
Yeah, like It was just a regular, like, office.
Yeah.
I was like, wow. And then we went into this room that was kind of white. And we sat at this big fucking table and you got us a lunch. Mm-hmm. And you had a salad. I got a salad. Joe got a sandwich because the two fatties got salads. Right?
Yeah.
And then, yeah. But that's when I remember when I was like, all right, this guy's nice. This guy, if anything, is a good guy. Right, Joe?
Well, I agree. Because I remember.
It was such a relief when you guys showed up. I was like, oh, all right, guys. I mean, you weren't carrying yourself and, you know.
No. I mean that's just. Right. That's how we felt when we met you. I mean, I remember saying this to Bobby. You have the exact same voice as this guy I grew up with. Who's like an ultra hip cocksucker of a guy, you know? And he just lies to your fucking face. Shit. We got off the phone with the first time. I go, I know this fucking guy. I grew up with him. I know how this fucking guy rolls.
You could just see the skinny jeans just like plastered on me.
Yeah, and I thought, this is really what I thought, man. I thought we were going to come meet you, and I thought you were going to be... I thought you were going to be like the like when you go to like a you know an agency
in Hollywood or
and
something.
And you meet the young hotshot agent guy
or a network when you go to a network of some talk show like a really and that guy comes out with you know sneakers and a suit jacket.
Yeah, exactly. Here's what Whitney wants. Okay, so let's try to stick to the script. That's not even a shot at Whitney. It's just. But that's the
kinda
guy
was,
that would probably be working.
Kind of was, but you're kind of trying to get out of it because you realize it slipped out. Go fuck yourself.
No, it didn't slip. She's my friend. I'm just saying,
she's
like.
She's not your friend.
She's not.
She's
I know
not
her.
Your friend.
I know her.
You're fucking acquaintances.
You know, she picked me up at the airport once. That's
one
how long
time.
Ago I knew
her.
I knew Whitney when she was not famous enough to pick
Chris Rock
me up at the
picked somebody up at the airport once, too, and they're nobodies. So go ahead.
So she, anyway, but that, like. Yeah,
some guy in a boat going, you know, Chris Rock picked me up at an airport once.
You do those shows, right? Yeah, you're saying, and that guy comes out. And I was like, this fucking guy's going to show up with a fucking thin leather jacket on and some corduroys and some fucking wingtips. And I'm like, I'm fuck this guy. And then when I saw you, and I was like, oh, this is Mike. Like, oh, all right, he's fucking...
Yeah, he was like, he was very, he was endearing right when you met him. I just wanted to hug him. I wanted to bite his face. He was just a nice, you could tell right away that you're a nice guy.
Yeah, totally. Seriously.
And then seriously. This is what you did great. Uh-huh. I don't know who taught you it, but you did it great. You knew how to compliment us and then give us marching orders. You knew how to suggest things in a way, always at the end of a compliment. Like, guys, this is great. Love it. This is going great. We might want to.
You know, this is what I call the sandwich theory.
Right.
Of course, I would call it a sandwich theory.
I would, too, if I'm with you.
You need the bread of compliments and the meat of you know, whatever is actually going to sustain the, you know, you can't have a sandwich without the meat.
Right.
You know, but it's the bread that helps you hold it.
Yeah.
Conveys it to your mouth and it helps it go down.
Yeah, you fucking get fucking dummies like us to do what you need us to do so you don't get fired.
Yeah, now, it's called manipulation.
Yeah,
Mike.
It's called psychology. Yeah,
put a nice fucking sandwich thing. Title on it. It's called suckering somebody.
Yeah, it's controlling fucking shithead divas that shouldn't be divas. Because one of them doesn't know how to spell your correctly or yeah. Listen. Listen, Mike. But here's the thing.
I didn't ever say anything to you that wasn't the truth or heartfelt.
No, you were very sincere.
It's about, you know, I really thought that this book had real potential. I thought that this was something that wasn't being said in the culture.
Do you use the word thought, like as in past tense? Or?
Well, at that time, okay. I'm describing my mental state.
Okay.
I mean, now I know because you guys took that potential and you made something.
There you
go.
Very good.
And so the way I felt about the book was, man, in small bursts, this thing is really funny.
Right.
But in order for me to read it as a book, you guys just don't know how to write a book.
Right.
And so you need I think maybe in this first letter that I sent you guys, I said, you know, I feel like you guys are the funny guys. And I'm the nerd who's going to tell you how a book happens.
Right.
And you guys be funny on top of, you know, the structure that I give you.
Right.
And that's eventually what happened.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, eventually. But here's the thing is
I'll give you an example. So do you remember when we were talking about something for the jacket, I think, or the back cover of the book?
Mm-hmm.
I said, we need, you know, a short phrase, something really memorable and catchy.
Mm-hmm.
Something that's kind of a little bit funny, but that articulates the general thrust of the book.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I tried to work the word thrust in there, you know, right, bring it back.
You love words.
Right.
And, you know, so I think we had like a 4-minute conversation and then Joe goes, I got it. And, just give me half an hour. And so half an hour later, I get a call from you guys and Joe says, all right, I ran it past Billy. I ran it past Bobby. I've got it. Monagi.
Man, you really kill a good story.
Wow, Jesus Christ. You want me to give you the book so you can read it? Yeah. Yeah, take this.
Monogamy. Monogamy has met its match.
I remember that.
Perfect.
That was, I couldn't have written that. In fact, I tried to write it for like a day and a half. And I couldn't, so I told you guys exactly what objective it needed to satisfy.
Do you know what I wanted to do, but they nullified it?
What?
I wanted to say, getting caught cheating on the woman you love is the worst feeling you'll ever feel as a man. Almost getting caught is the best feeling.
I thought that was in the book.
I wanted it on the back, but you guys nullified it.
I don't know what nullified means.
You said
and
no.
I don't believe you do either.
You went like this. You went. You guys went no. You understand? You understand?
Wait, why would we say no to that? That's a great
because
thing.
This was better.
This
was to the point.
Boom,
boom, boom.
I got you.
But here's the thing. This
that's good. It's just it's too many words.
Yeah, too many words. Which I thought you'd like, but whatever. Here's
I'm a
the thing.
Pickle, Bobby. You know that.
Here's the thing is that you came in. We were so like, what the fuck? And we're almost done. And then you come in and you literally took this car and wanted to redo the inside, the outside, the paint job, the engine. You wanted a lot done to this car that we were about to sell for fucking $1,500.
You guys drove in a Pinto. What was that supposed to do?
Well, right. But we didn't understand, like you said, we didn't understand the book process. And then once we met you and then we figured out that all you're trying to do is your job, and that, not that she didn't do her job, but maybe
it was the start.
It was the start of the job, I guess. And we thought we were almost done.
She had one slice of bread.
Right.
And we had to finish the sandwich.
Oh, Jesus, your bread. Can you get up? Go buy a loaf of bread and hit him with it. But,
yeah, I think it was, I think Carrie, her name is Carrie.
Yeah, she's great.
She's very sweet and she's very smart. And I think she did her job up until the point when she left.
Mm.
And yeah. I think had she stayed, there would have been that second talk where she would have
we would have hated her
guys,
too.
Guys, listen. You know, but but yeah, so I mean, we really thought because look, yeah. I think we all do at this point, and I think we did prior to, but especially now, like, we admiration for the author. You know, it's like, I really respect guys. You know, it's funny. Like, after this, I was talking to somebody about this book, and I said, I get it now. Like, when I used to read a Stephen King book, and he'd describe, like, the crack in the wall for a page.
Oh, God.
I'd be like, what the fuck, man? I don't care. And now I get it. It's like, oh, yeah, you got to fill a fucking page up.
Yeah, but he, no, well, let's stop, though. He's a little ridiculous. You don't need fucking 9,000-page books. He's a little fucking nuts.
But, yeah.
But I understand what you're
but
saying.
Yeah, so it's like, well, Well, here's the thing. My respect for authors went up through this whole process. But what I was going to, because of that, it was none of us, what I was going to say is none of us wanted to be authors. That was never a dream of ours. Mm-hmm. You know, so when this idea got presented to us, we were like, yeah, okay, that sounds like a cool idea. You know, like I didn't
We had no idea how fucked up this. And here's the thing, too, is that writing a book by yourself with an editor, mm-hmm. I would imagine would be a way easier job than having to run every thought by two other guys.
Yeah.
And they're not there.
This is why the Middle East peace process is so difficult. This very thing. That I mean, you guys all had veto power, right?
Yep. Two over one.
Yeah.
Two over one. And we got into so many fucking huge arguments. And it was sometimes it wasn't even about the book. It was just we were putting in so much work into this book. And then we had our careers, which were fucking, we're all over the place. And then we had, you know, acting stuff and auditions and all this
and
other
script,
stuff.
The TV script we were writing at the same time.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I forgot about that. We were writing a script for FX. And it was fucking heavy. We went from doing stand-up and writing jokes to writing a script, writing a book, you know, doing our shows. I mean, and a bunch of other shit that's going on. I was filming a TV show at the time, The 2-2, and
yep.
It was fucking crazy.
And up to this point, everything that you guys had ever written was just for yourselves.
Jokes or scripts.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, when you do develop your act, I mean, you're getting feedback from people when you do it every night. But
right.
I mean, you're not there, you know, licking your pencil, and some guy like me isn't saying, well, you know, I think you need to wait 3 seconds before you deliver that punchline or something.
Yeah, that's the tough part.
It's a much
more
private type of thing.
Yeah, that's tough. And even with...
me telling Joe that I don't think that's funny, or Billy telling me I don't think that's funny, it was like, what? It was hard to swallow those moments and trust Joe and Billy. Mm-hmm. Look, buddy, we're cutting
that. Do you think that it got funnier, the three of you guys working together? Did you have one of those Captain Planet moments where, you know, I'm choosing, you're Mati, you're the Earth guy,
mm-hmm.
and Billy's the one with the red hair.
Right.
But, you know, you put your rings together, and then all of a sudden, there's this superpower.
Wow, you are a fucking nerd. Oh, my God.
Well,
that's I love you.
I will nerd match that analogy.
Go ahead.
I really think it was, I don't mean this in an arrogant way at all, but I'm just saying just for the sake of an example, I feel like it was like...
That means it's going to be very arrogant.
Well, I felt like it was
it's
like...
a sandwich. He is employing the sandwich technique.
It was like the Avengers. Like, we were fucking fighting and knocking heads so much, but when, like, the final showdown came and it was like, stop fucking around, we've got a job to do,
yeah.
We came together and we did it together very well.
Yeah.
But it was like, up until that point, you needed to see the shadow of the alien spacecraft coming over the Earth before we were like, okay, guys, let's stop fucking around. We had a meeting one day. Bobby, you know, we've joked about this in the podcast before, but it's true. Like, Bobby's got a church across the street from his apartment, and the amount of nights we've sat on those steps going, look, dude, you know, like, I know you mean well, man, and, like, I know, you know, like...
like an after-school special?
Yeah.
Like, just fucking brutal, brutal fights. But... we had a discussion. I remember this day very, 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 very clearly. It was a very significant day in our professional lives and in our friendships. The three of us, we got on the phone one day. I think Burr said it. He was like, no more fucking egos. None. Egos are done. Like, it's this simple. Like, we each do our work. And if two other guys say no, you tap out and you don't even question it. We like, let's stop, because we're not going to be friends anymore. Yeah. Like, it's got to stop. And we're going to fuck up our opportunity if we don't get out of each other's way. And then, like, it just stopped, like, literally overnight. We never fucking fought ever again.
And it was a hard thing, man. It was, and I'm glad anything that's worth doing has these stories, has these fucking, you know, it's never easy something that you is good or something that you really give a shit about. But it got really fucking... I mean, for me... Look, man, I was in juvie hall at 15. I didn't graduate.
So did you try to shiv these guys when a joke?
But writing a book for me was out of the... I mean, I told my grandfather this before he died. He was blown the fuck away. It was one of his favorite things that I was writing a book because I never went to school. I didn't go to fucking school. I went to the shits classes.
Sure.
And then I went to college, but I went for art because, you know, I failed basic English in college. I started doing comedy. I was gone. So to sit here and write a book, I learned so much from Joe and Billy and you on writing. I remember just sitting there and looking down at the bottom of the page. And Norton gave me great advice, too. He was like, just write. And mm-hmm. if your brain goes into another story, just go and let it go. If you're writing about one thing and all of a sudden you're writing about the transsexual's balls story or you being molested, just go. Because it might be something you use later, but it will keep the process going. And it might actually be something to use. So when I was writing we would give each other homework. Like, you know, Joe, you do this. Billy, you do this. Bobby, you do this. And then we filtered it through the other two. That's how we wrote it. So we tried to make it sound like one voice.
Yeah.
But
I
when
think
I,
it turned out that way.
I think so, too. Yeah. But when I was writing my stuff, I remember just sitting there writing words. And I was you could go insane. You could fucking go, because you're writing for hours. And you look down, there's like 600 words. You're like, fuck. It's like getting a tattoo. You think he's almost done, but he just did the outline. And you're like, I can't do it. I can't do it. Fuck it.
When they go back and do the outline again, you're like, what the fuck? You already did that, you know?
It's, yeah.
Very simple. Yeah, and I'm really like OCD and like anal retentive. So I edit a lot as I'm writing, mm-hmm. and I can't not do it, so I keep going back.
Yeah.
Like, did you ever see Manhattan by Woody Allen, where he's like doing that, where you hear him like doing the intro to his book? I like write like that, and I just keep going back. So it's like it takes me forever just to get through like two paragraphs.
My favorite time was writing with Joe when we would get together and tackle a chapter together, uh-huh. because we worked great together. We had the shit. We went back and forth, and what I had, he didn't. What he had, I didn't. So those were fun because we really got into like making this shit polished.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Yeah.
And then that's what blew us away too. When we turned in what we thought was a finished book, and you were like, all right, guys, we're going to get, you know, this is the first, we were like, what, motherfucker?
Yeah.
What, motherfucker? But then once we started to do the work again, it started to make sense. Like your critiques and my God, dude, if you didn't know how to work with fucking children, if he was a fucking asshole, or one of those alpha male or, you know, fucking guy, it wouldn't have happened. The way you are and the way you talk to me like a child and made me okay.
Well, that's because I believe your heart is pure.
No, yeah.
The question I have is, you know, I mean, not every creative profession has a editor type role, you know?
Right.
I mean, what if you guys have done comedy albums, right?
Yep.
And what if you... And you record that all on your own,
yes,
right? And you turn it in to Comedy Central Records or wherever. Mm. You know, is there a guy like me who says, you know, track four, I'm not feeling it.
Cut. No, not really. I mean,
what about the script writing process?
I mean, Jesus Christ. Geez, the worst. It's
so
worse.
How
than,
does that compare? I've heard people say
writing a script is easier because it's not 20,000 words. You know, a week, it's fucking, you know, you're writing a script and it's dialogue. So dialogue's kind of fun. And I love writing dialogue because you're literally talking to yourself and acting out the scene and you're writing it down. And then somebody reads it and goes, oh, that's great. But then when you turn it in, you got to change. I mean, we wrote that FX script. Jesus Christ, how many rewrites? It was because you know what sucks about
is
that?
Rewrites coming from you guys or from,
no,
like,
from
the
them?
Execs?
From them and the production company too. Because we were working with Apostle, who's their production company and a management company, and we were working with them. So then you had production company notes first, where they would say, look, guys, before we go to the next stage of showing FX these pages, mm-hmm. we have to do these things to this. Then you'd show them that revised thing.
And that's
then
all
they
about quality.
Would give you notes.
Like, you know, this guy's character needs to be established earlier on in the scene or something like and that. Or is it like, you know, that's going to cost us $50,000 to shoot, and that's 3 seconds of the script.
There was none of that. Like, the script is pretty grounded. You know, it was just guys in New York. But, like, it was like, but it was, the hardest part about TV writing is there are... there are these sort of caps and boundaries and stuff that don't exist with a book. So it's very ambiguous. So somebody will say something to you like, okay, you'll have the script for Star Wars, for instance, right? Just as an example. You wrote that script, and then they'll go, the script is really good. We really like it. Here's the thing, though. We feel like... Chewbacca's voice isn't there, and you go, okay, great. You know, he needs to have more of a presence and a voice. But what does that really mean? Does it mean he needs to be in more scenes? Does he need to have a more of an opinion? Does he, you know what I mean? There's a million ways you can go with that, and then any one of those ways can then affect the script, and then all in this direction or that direction. And then if you take it too far in a certain direction, they can go, Whoa, what did you do? You just really turned this whole thing on its ear now. It's a very, very ambiguous thing. Whereas with a book, it's more like, look, man, this chapter about the lake is too fucking long. You know, we got to shave it down. We need a chapter that bridges these two things together. You know, at least that's what I took from that experience.
So basically it would be if I was like, okay, guys, I read the thing. It's great, but it needs to be funnier. Go make it funnier.
Yeah, it's a very vague thing, you know.
Well, you know, I mean, it was. I mean, I think writing a book is, nitpicking. It's like we need something here that doesn't make sense. This could be funnier. We need something to join these. We need to write another chapter to make these two chapters make sense. You know, writing a script, their notes are, you know, one page, and then it gets down to we like it or not. And then they go, no. Like, there's no like it or not with you. You already liked it. You bought it. Now your job is to make it fucking good and make it so, because you know what people who read books like. I don't.
I mean, so that's what the people at FX would say, though. They would say, we know what the people who watch FX like.
Sure.
Yeah, but
is the way that they pay you differently when you're writing for television? So in a book scenario, what we'll do is we'll come up with, you know, you'll send in a proposal. Typically, we'll meet. Yeah. I'll say, I love it. And then I'll talk to my publisher and see, you know, we'll figure out what we think it's going to sell. And then we come back to you guys with an offer based on how many books we think it's going to sell. And we can negotiate from there. But then we pay right when you sign a contract, when you deliver the book.
Right.
And it's all complete. And then when we publish it.
Yeah.
That
was the most annoying part of the whole book. The process, I remember I was in Aruba. I got a phone call. And I remember we all agreed we're going with Simon & Schuster because there was more than one house that wanted the book.
I love the way you looked at me as though you're telling me this, as though I as though I still didn't want to do it or something.
No.
Like, you're, by the way, Michael.
Well, it was, I remember how excited I was when they were like, yeah, there was a couple people and we think we should take this. And I love when management and agents say, we think you should do this.
Right.
Because it just makes it easier on me. I just, you know, because I would have said yes for fucking $10.
Right.
If you guys were like, look, do the first one for free, I'd be like, all right.
Right.
So I hung up the phone. Like, it was one of those moments, those Rudy moments on the bench where you get accepted to Notre Dame. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, I was like, wow. But I didn't know. I had no clue. Because that 30-page proposal was so good and so wow and so easy to do for us that I thought, we're going to fly through this. Cut to 2 years later. Fuck me. And to a book... Oh, man, a book to be successful, there's so many fucking people writing books. It's like podcasts. Yeah. It really is. It's like everybody has a fucking book. And you know what pisses me off is not that everybody writes their books, Mike.
That's true. You guys did. You guys put in the work. I saw the sweat. I heard the tears weeping softly down your faces.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I became friends with you writing this book. Because I needed to call you and talk to you about, look, what about this? What, you know, and
it's being in somebody else's head, you know, being an editor. And that's one of the things I love about my job.
Really?
You know? I feel like I know you better now and you too, Joe, and Billy too.
Right.
Better
Not
than,
so much Billy, though.
Well, I did talk more with you guys. It's true, but even Billy, there's you get to see how somebody's brain works more. You know, it's different than just having a conversation or going out for dinner or you know hanging out for a weekend or whatever that right. you do as a friend.
Yeah,
you're really in each other's headspace trying to talk about the thing that you want to do to get it done better. And there's something, I mean, it feels magical to me. That's why I get up and go to work every day, because I love that feeling of actually working on something and crafting it with somebody else. And it's not just like an assembly of any kind. It's, in a way, it's kind of like, you're going to make fun of me this, but
okay. I'm
it's
in.
Like,
probably.
Making a book is made up of writing a book is made up of, you know, a 100,000, 500,000 small decisions, you know, which word comes next, essentially, which right. idea comes next. And there's no roadmap. Even if you have an outline in that chapter, you know that you need to, I don't know, talk about how to get laid in Rio or something. Right. But how do you convey it? It's just this series of all of these decisions that if you're sitting there at your desk or, you know, on a couch with your laptop or whatever, you write one word and then the blank space that comes next is just confronting you. And, you know, it's like, choose what comes next. Well, there are 500,000 words that you could choose, you know?
Right.
And
it's nuts.
And being an editor, it gives me a little bit of space to come in and tell you and help show you the choices that you've already made almost unconsciously and help you work through the choices that are even more difficult or that you've been unconsciously avoiding.
Yeah.
Well, and so
no, that made me, can I ask you one question out of the book? Now it's done, it's out, it's there. Is there anything that was in it that you wanted to change or that you wish that we took out, or looking at it now, like, fuck, I wish this happened. As the editor, as our editor, is there something where you're like, oh, the fuck, this should have been taken out. Oh, we should have did this. You guys didn't want to do it, but we should have did it.
I don't think so.
Come on, son.
No, the one thing that I would change a little bit, I mean, each one of you guys in separate ways, as we were coming closer to the end of it, you each got a little bit skittish. It was like after 2 years of working on this thing together, you finally realized that you were writing a book about cheating on people that you love.
Right.
Right.
And each one of you had a conversation with me at some point where I hung up the phone and thought, did they just now realize what they signed up for? I mean, this is you've been working on this book. And for 2 years, I mean, it's not an exquisitely long time to work on a book, but for a book that's, you know, I think you could have done this one in a shorter period of time. I think we had a little bit of a blip when I came on the process.
I think that was the blip that I think we should have done. It should have been done in a year and a half. Maybe under a year and a half, we could have got this done. And it might have, I mean, I think the time on that being so long for me, and then I was in a totally different place in my life 2 years later.
Yeah.
I mean, in my relationship with my wife, we were trying to have a kid. Mm-hmm. And then I remember what fucked me up. I just wanted it to be funny. Funny, funny, funny. It's about being funny. And I remember when I went in with Jess, our PR lady from Simon & Schuster, and we went into the Katie Couric show, and I was like, okay, let's do this. And I was like, cool. I thought it was going to be fun and funny, but this guy was like, so we're going to have a segment about cheating, and you'll be the expert on cheating. I'm like, whoa, 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 whoa. And I'm like, look, I can go over the psychology, but I'm funny. You got to read the book. We're telling you to cheat, but we're doing it in a funny, fucking honest way. It's like, it's more like Average American Male, like that type of honest, funny, how guys are. And that kind of flipped me out a little bit, where I was like, okay, listen, let's make sure that we promote this in the right way so that we're not, you know, the guy, you know, I'm on some circuit. And I'm at a fucking bookstore by myself because Joe and Billy said, go fuck yourself. And I'm the expert cheater. And my wife's in a hotel room getting egged by other women as she walks down the street with my baby. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
And I remember Billy, too, was a little fucked up about it. But
well, yeah, a lot changes in 2 years. A lot changes in 2 years. I mean, you know, those worries that you had, like, I had opposite worries. I got to a point where I was like, what the fuck am I doing? Like, every girl I date from now on, I'm going to have to
Didn't some girl say something? A couple girls
said. I had a girl flip her fucking lid in my apartment because she saw the manuscript sit there. She lost her fucking mind. And, you know, but...
But if you knew how to get the book, you know how to get her back in and suck your dick and tell her to beat it.
Well, yeah.
Chap the fucking...
Oh, boy. Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it was just... I think also, too...
Can I just say one thing real quick? My wife deserves a fucking present and an award. She sat there in the kitchen with us, me, you, and Billy, myself, while I wrote a book, How to Cheat and Get Away with It, and never once gave me shit. Never once was like, she a couple times helped us.
Dude, both of you and Bill, your girls, like, I was impressed by that. I remember seeing Billy's girl talking to her about it. Billy wasn't in town, but his girl was, and I had to go pick up a box of books
that
went to the apartment by accident, and we were talking, and she's like, it's so exciting, and she's like, she goes, can I have one to read? And I remember I called Billy, and I was like, can I give your girl a copy of this book? And he's like, yeah, and I gave it to her, and she's like, are you excited? And I was like, yeah, you know, it works. And she's like, why do you guys seem so nervous? Like, you, both of your girls were more like lax about the whole thing than we were. Yeah. Like, we were, it was just nerve wracking a bit. And I think too, you know,
I took it as a good sign that you were nerve wracked a little bit. You know, because if you guys were going into this, we've got 240 pages of how to cheat on your spouse, your girlfriend. You know, how to accumulate notches on the bedpost. If you guys had always told me that you wanted this to be real. You wanted it to be funny, but you wanted it to be honest, too.
Yeah.
And to be an accurate portrayal of what went on inside a guy's head.
Right.
And I thought it was hilarious, you know? And when you guys started getting a little bit skittish, you know, like a month or so before we published, I thought, all right, these guys actually delivered what they wanted to. You said things that were so honest, you were now a little bit worried about having other people hear them.
Yeah, it's that moment where you're like, we were very honest about something, and now, oh my God, we're actually going through with this. We still were going to do it either way, but, like, you know, it was that fucking Kanye West, you know, moment. There's a reason he was shaking when he was like, Bush doesn't care about black people on TV. You know, like, that's how you feel. You're like, I'm going to do it, but I was fucking terrified right now.
I didn't care about what, I knew what we wrote, and I was proud of what we wrote, because it was funny and an honest thing, but I was afraid of being put out there. Like, when we went on CNN, we had that talk. I go, sound bites, we need sound bites, dude. I'm not going on. We need to be funny sound bites. And right at the end, they asked Joe a question, and Joe went into the biology of and it's like, oh shit. And here, all the women went, oh fuck, you know. Because they caught him. They sent him out there, and then he went into the, and they got him. And you know what they did? They edited that. I jumped in at the end and went, it's funny. If you don't laugh at this, you're dead inside. Right. Something like that. And then everybody laughed. They cut that part out, and they just put the part of Joe. So it was like, it made it a serious thing. Like, we're making you laugh, you fucking morons.
I don't like that lady.
What?
The CNN lady.
Really? The brunette or the blonde?
The main chick from that show, the morning show.
I'm a big fan of hers.
Are you really?
Yeah, what's her name?
I think it's Soledad O'Brien.
Soledad O'Brien, I like.
Didn't care for Soledad.
And I like the black dude, too. He was great. He had me on a show. It was awesome.
He was great. Mm-hmm.
I call him black dude. Fucking Jesus Christ. Really. That's why we suck at publicizing the book.
No, I thought
that black dude was great.
I felt like I liked CNN.
Right.
I liked Showbiz Tonight was great to us.
Oh, I fucking hated it. Because again, that's when I said sound bites. Because I started rambling.
You said that thing that...
because here's the deal. We had no information of this show.
Right.
Here we are at show. What are they going to ask us? Where are they? What are they doing? And they asked me, they literally just take these little pieces out of the book and went, lies, Robert. What about lying? And it's like, what the fuck?
What was the thing you said?
I said, women lie too. I mean, women know when we're... I just rambled. I just fucked...
About eating cookies in the shower.
Dude, he called me after...
Can I tell this story?
Yeah, go ahead.
He called me after the thing, the appearance, because we did it in the afternoon. And I'm like, he's like, was that okay, dude? And I'm like, it was fucking great. What are you talking about?
Yeah, he's like,
he just kept going like, I don't know, dude. Like, he just was like, and like 10 minutes into it, I just go, Bobby, I know you feel insecure about that thing you said about eating cookies in the shower. And he's like, it didn't make sense. We need sound bites. And I was like,
we need sound bites, dude.
I knew that was fucking funny.
Yeah, but then next day, you got caught right out there.
I know.
I learned so much about promoting. And I used to watch people on these news programs, the books, and I was like, this phony. No. They're actually doing what you need to do. Say the same thing over and over on every fucking show, and people will go buy your book. Don't get caught out there. Promote the book the way you have to have a game plan in promoting something. And it has to be pushed by all the people. Especially with us, we had three different people promoting it, and we have to... this is what the book is. Find out what that angle is and push that. You can't be all over the place with, you know,
something that, I mean, you asked about regrets before. I should have coached you guys better on that, I guess.
We never did. I've been on shows just to be funny, but I was never on promoting a book.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's the thing. Whenever I've seen you guys or heard you guys on the radio, I mean, you guys are so quick.
Yeah.
You know, here I am sitting in this room on a hard chair that squeaks, and
I told
I'm
you
like,
to take the couch, you cocksucker.
I'm saying, you know, I appreciate your hospitality. You're a beautiful man. you guys have it, you know, I'm good when I get to read something or hear it, digest it, think it through like a half dozen times, write it, edit it, and then send something back. That's when I can be at my best.
Right.
Whereas you guys, I mean, you say one thing, it just, you know, you're so much faster. Mm. You've got the repartee down, and I don't have that. You know?
Yeah, but I mean, here's the thing.
That would have been a good point for you to say, oh, no, Mike, you're great.
No, we agree.
DJ Plumpernickel.
No, you...
I want to listen to that show.
DJ Plumpernickel is... I kind of like it now.
You guys, I like it.
You know that the Canadian band Godspeed You Black Emperor? You ever hear about them?
No.
I've never.
What a reference.
That was just like this 13-piece ensemble where they like... incorporated found recordings of, you know, like random crazy people ranting in Montreal over, you know, a bunch of cellos and kettle drums and
that
stuff.
That sounds kind of cool.
It was pretty cool, but it was also, I mean, that was the type of stuff that I typically played on Petrichor.
Petrichor.
Petrichor makes me sick. Yeah.
But it's a wonderful smell, isn't it?
It is. The name of the show, it just... Yeah.
So, In wrapping this up, you could DJ Plumpernickel. In wrapping this, I mean, you could pretty much say that you should thank us for your promotion, because you went from
I was an associate editor,
and
then I published the book
and became
an editor.
Yeah, now you're an official editor at Simon & Schuster.
That's right.
Good.
Yeah, thank you guys.
Congrats.
Thank you. I owe all of my success to you.
I know. That's all we want to bring it up.
That's all. I didn't want to bring it up.
Actually, I kind of feel like, you know, publishing a book like this without getting fired is really the test of a man. So,
could you have gotten fired for this book?
No.
Oh, okay.
I don't think so.
Now, this book is out there now, and you kind of said something to me that made sense to me. You push it as hard as you can. You try to get people to buy it the first week or so.
Mm-hmm.
And then after the third week, it's there, and it kind of does its thing. It's kind of out in this river of books, and now something could happen, or one of us could do something, or some, you know, and it could actually explode. Mm-hmm. Is that a chance? Does that happen with books?
Yeah, I mean, it happens all the time. I mean, a lot of the stuff that we think of as
What I'm really saying is Billy might make it someday, and this book might become popular.
Yeah, which you will eternally regret.
The, dude, I mean, it's true. I can't do it, dude. Take my name off the book, dude.
That's hilarious.
I mean, books do have a life of their own, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, this book is... when do we publish it? You know, October 9th?
Yeah.
Was
yeah.
that it?
Yeah.
The, so it's... It, I mean, it's not even 6 months old yet, you know?
Right. So that's young.
It's young. It's got a life to lead. I mean, there's...
And we got
I
a lot
great
of
hopes for this.
We got insane reviews on this book. We really did. I mean... I mean, here's a couple of them right here. Even though I wanted, I'm a woman, I love this book. This book is very funny and well worth the read if you like any of the authors. I'm only halfway through this book, but this has been a hilarious read by three of my favorite comedians. And of course, a lot of our fans bought this book, but they would have let us know.
There was
one guy I'd like to fucking just, for this guy was a fucking, I hope he dies a miserable fucking death. I really do.
Fucking tried to get that, reported that review to Amazon.
By Jason from Houston, Texas. I hope you die in a fucking helicopter accident, but I hope you're not in the helicopter. I hope you're barbecuing, having a great time by a pool, and the helicopter fucking falls from the sky. The back propeller, not the front heavy one,
right.
The back one, right when you think you're about to live, and fucking rips your head off. I have not and will not buy this book. I'm just tired of all this promotion on Twitter and ONA. Oh, I'm sorry.
What a fucking cocksucker. Yeah. He fucking... And I reported that to Amazon, like, this is an unfair review. He's admitting that he didn't even read it, and he gave us one star.
Right.
And they don't do anything.
Well, I mean, a lot of people, if I remember that one,
a
lot of people responded to him and said, shut up. And you didn't even buy the book.
Yeah.
Nine comments.
If you don't like what they're talking about, just turn the radio off.
iTunes, man. I had a guy on iTunes on one of my albums that said, I had multiple albums.
all of them critically acclaimed.
Yeah. There was only one that was good. Listen,
first one top 10 albums of 2011.
Yeah, mine was actually my album was actually album of the year comedy album.
With who?
Just the tip with iTunes.
It was album of
album
the year.
Album of the year.
Album the album of the year.
Album of the year.
Or one of the albums.
So
of the
for
year.
A week so, I was at the top thing. 2000
are we talking comedy album of the year.
Yeah, comedy. You know, right. Spoken
I don't
word.
Like beat out Rihanna.
I don't
or
like
something.
How you outdid my shitty bragging.
Why?
Because I was doing it to be funny, and then you came in with like a real like.
Sorry, I didn't know. I thought we were really doing this.
No. So, but here's the thing. There was a guy on there that said, I refuse to listen to this album. I hope DeRosa dies in a fire. I can't fucking stand him. I reported that to iTunes. They took the fucking thing down.
Yeah, but I wrote that as a fucking joke. Oh, no, I'm kidding.
But yeah, Amazon, they'll just leave that shit.
Actually, there was one Amazon review that I loved. I don't know if you guys ever saw this, but it's by this woman who's got like 300. Maybe she should do a book. She has like 300 product reviews, mostly of books and other stuff.
Right.
She claims to own a nut farm in Hawaii.
That is Roseanne.
She says she's next to Roseanne's nut farm.
I was so excited that Roseanne liked our book.
I know. She hates Roseanne.
Oh, really?
Why? Yeah.
Because apparently her nut farm pollutes or something like that. I don't know. But this woman is ridiculous.
Really?
Roseanne has a nut farm. I thought that...
Yeah, she has
there's a show about
I thought
it.
This woman was just crazy.
No, well, there's a TV show.
They're both fucking loons. Yeah. But that's great. She loves our book.
Good.
That's great. Look, we got more great reviews. We got one, fuck you, 45 five-star reviews on this.
That's great.
That's great. That's fucking great. And we were number, shit, what were we, number five?
Yeah, we were in that top 10 on Amazon in
top 10
categories for a little while.
Yeah.
That was nice.
Yeah, I think overall, I mean, you were in the top 50 for a while.
Yeah, we got to top 39 overall.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which was pretty epic for me.
And for a book where half of the American population is probably not going to buy it.
Well, it's a hard sell. I mean, that's why I love the first cover. To be honest with you, when we had that thing that we didn't do.
Oh,
where
the
it
ring
said,
finger?
No, where it said... I love the cover. I love it. It looks great. It's so cool. I love what we actually finally came up with. But The original one where they we had the flap where it said "Cheat a Man's Guide to Infidelity" with all the sexy photos, and then if you ripped that off, it said "Eat a Man's Guide" and had food photos. I thought that was great.
Yeah,
I thought that would have been a unique twist, and it would have been kind of cool, you know. And that's what kind of started getting me bummed out when the stuff that we were kind of promised at the beginning. And then it was all starting being taken away at the end.
No.
Like, nah, it's not really. We can't do that. Nah, that doesn't make sense.
Uh-huh.
You know what? This isn't going to work. You know, it was like, but I think that overall at the end, I was, you know, with the website and the videos we made and, you know.
Yeah, those were great.
We came together.
That website's beautiful.
Yeah. We really pushed and came together.
It was so much fun working with you guys on those videos, too.
That was great.
I mean, you guys.
And the final show. The show we did was fucking amazing. That was such a great night.
I mean, that was really where I got to see you guys in your element, I think. I mean, because you saw me in my element working on the book, but that was you guys swimming in the ocean when you had only been in a pool before, whatever.
Wow. Yeah.
And whereas, you know, we had a conversation on like a Saturday afternoon. I remember I was out of town and talked to you for half an hour on the phone. We were talking about these videos. Mm. And Monday, I think, two scripts show up in my inbox.
Yeah.
And I think you had been on vacation where there wasn't even like internet access. Mm. And you were doing shows out in Philly or Long Island or something. And I thought, holy crap, these are awesome. And how did these guys have the time to do something so polished?
And I think those were great.
I wrote one of those on my I was going out to McGuire's in Long Island that weekend when we were talking on the phone on the way out to McGuire's. I was in the car going out, and I wrote one of those on my notepad on my phone.
Yeah,
we had like an hour drive. I was just like, fuck it, I'm doing this
impressive.
Right now.
That
and
was
we,
really
and
impressive.
And we filmed that stuff in like an hour. Hour and a half.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
then the
was
editor
great.
Was great. He put it together. Unbelievable. He really did a great job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was great. I'm really happy with the final product of everything.
I wish it could have been in the top 10 on the New York Times bestseller list. I wish that could have happened.
It still can.
Yeah, it can. But I mean, you want it that first week. And I think if once you get it on there the first week, it becomes like the top 10 of podcasts on comedy. Once you're up there, more people listen to you because you're there. So it just keeps feeding itself.
Yeah, there's momentum.
Yeah, it feeds itself. And
the one thing that's going to be, I mean, we can all agree. I mean, nobody's going to stop cheating, really.
No.
So this is something that's here to stay. Mm. This is the very best book on the subject, the funniest book on the subject.
Oh, yeah.
You guys, your careers will continue to an increase in your breadth and depth. And I mean, this is something that can only get better. And yeah, I'm proud of it. I'm really proud of how it turned out.
So are we going to get a deal to write Cheat 2? No.
If we say this book is everything you need to know, where does the two come in?
The cheat is how to be happy. The next book we read is how to be happily married or happily in a relationship.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, we how to fall in love. That's the next book we need to write. How to be in love with a woman. It's called Intimacy, A Man's Guide.
Yeah, that's nice.
Yeah.
That's nice. And yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
All right. Fuck it.
All right. Well, dude, thanks for coming down.
Thanks for having
Congratulations, and you're welcome on the the promotion.
I know. Yeah. You know, Mike.
I
you
owe
know
it all to
did.
You.
You do.
Yeah.
You do.
You do, and I liked how you looked at me when you said that.
I'm trying to make eye contact. Sometimes, I mean, it builds rapport.
I can always tell when Joe runs out of steam on a podcast too. He starts, yeah.
What? Did I run out of steam?
Yeah, your fucking arm, your wrists go limp like a fucking gay guy in a boutique, a pocketbook boutique.
Have you noticed that about every 10 minutes he's moved his chair back about an inch and he kind of opens his legs up a little bit wider?
I get fidgety.
I get very uncomfortable when I do O&A. I stand up. They tell me to sit down. I can't.
He gets a very fidgety.
Can't
guy.
Sit still.
But so if you guys listen, fans of this podcast, go buy the book. If you haven't bought the book yet, go get it. Buy it on Amazon. You know what I say? Go to your local bookstore and buy the copies.
That's right.
There's only two or three copies in every bookstore. Go fucking buy them and give them to people.
I just saw Alonzo Bowden the other day.
Yeah.
And he goes, I was in an airport
bookstore. I saw your book. I was like, fuck, they finished it. Because he said, he was the last time I saw you, we were up in Montreal. You guys were doing the live show. You were talking about the book.
It's like, done. So go buy it. Yeah. Go buy it. And buy it and give it to a neighbor that you don't like. Put it on his fucking, just put it in the mailbox. Do something.
It's $10 online, you know, BNN.com or Amazon.com. I think it's like $10.18. Yeah.
$10 online. It comes to your house in 2 days. It's a fucking great book. It's a great gift for a friend, a bachelor party, a birthday, whatever. If someone's getting married, the reason why I say that, it's funny. You got to know that. It's a funny, hilarious, honest look at the world of cheating.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's a book about being a man and having desires as a man.
Yeah. Look, I said in every interview I did, I said the most important thing about this book is that it will potentially teach people to not do this. When you read this book and you see what a gigantic responsibility this is and what a massive undertaking it is, you will probably decide it's not fucking worth it, man. And I think that that's as positive as the way it could teach you how to get away with it.
I disagree with that. I think you'll read this book, understand what a, I agree that it was a huge undertaking, and you'll go, I'm still going to try to get that pussy because my wife's pussy is old and I like young pussy.
That's a good point.
That's a song for cheat. I'm going to get that pussy.
My uncle, by the way, I got to give you his address. I'm going to send it to you. He wants a copy of the book.
Yeah.
He can't buy it?
Yeah, tell him to buy it. It's $10. Jesus Christ.
He's
support
my
him.
Uncle, for Christ's
sake. Support
sakes.
You.
Give him a copy of the book.
There you go.
I keep telling him, I'm like, I don't know if I want you to read this, man. He's like, I don't care. It's fine.
How old is this guy?
He's probably in his 50s.
I'm getting a copy of the book, and I'm going to glue it shut and give it to my grandmother.
My mom stopped reading it.
Yeah, she should, because she's a good person. Yeah. The fuck is wrong with you?
She got one chapter in, she goes, I had to put it down. She goes, it's too crass, I can't read it. I was like, Jesus Christ.
But if you're a man, or if you're a fucking cool-ass broad...
You could literally open this book to any page and find something that will make you squint with laughter.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah, go buy this book, because we need to... We get nothing. We have to sell like 10 million copies to get another check.
Yeah,
so, just go buy the book for the purpose.
Yeah, and go to cheatamansguide.com, watch the movie Cheat that started all this, and enjoy it.
Yeah, and watch the videos we did. We were talking about those videos that me and Joe wrote and produced, and they're really funny, so you can check them out there. You guys, thanks for listening. Mike, thank you so much for coming down and hanging out.
Thank you.
Did you have a good time?
I did.
All right, you got anything to promote? You got a new book? Nothing?
No. How could I do that? I mean, this is the best book I worked on in 2012.
Boom! Boom!
Thank you.
Fucking Mickey Flapjack. What was your name again? What was it?
That was it.
Mickey Flapjacks and the Sunshine Gang.
What was the name?
DJ Plumpernickel.
DJ! Ah, fuck me, Joe.
What was
Joe
the show
gets angry
again?
When he hears it.
Hey, I want to hear that name of the show again.
Petrichor.
All right, will you please introduce your show like back in the day? Yeah. Introduce the show, you, and a song you're about to play. Ready?
I have to think of a song, a suitably pretentious song.
Okay.
Say that fucking band you said earlier.
Yeah, that's a good
one. Yeah, their song titles like 14 words long or something.
Just make up one. Who cares?
All right.
Ready?
All right.
All right, and we're back.
This is WRCT Pittsburgh 88.3 FM. I'm your host, DJ Pumpernickel. Plumpernickel? I probably would have screwed it up, too.
Let's do it again. Ready? Do it again. And we're back.
This is WRCT Pittsburgh 88.3 FM. I'm your host, DJ Plumpernickel, and this is Petrichor. Up next, Godspeed, You Black Emperor.
I still want to hit him.
I really do.
I would have went into whatever fucking basement this radio station was in and waited for him to get out of it and hit him with a fucking a 12-inch Subway sub.
Oh, my
right
God.
Right in the side of the head.
Music has no business being on that show.
Well, I got to tell you.
That is a talk show.
I was also involved in an experimental music collective, I think we called it. It was called Horse and Burrow Adoption.
Oh, God.
Just
oh, God.
Click off on that thing.
All right, listen. Joe, Joe DeRosa, at Joe DeRosa Comedy.
At Joe DeRosa Comedy. I don't know when this is coming out, but I have some interesting stuff coming up.
First of all, I don't want to know about new stuff coming out with you.
I know you don't. That's no, why I didn't say.
Yeah, it's coming out next week. I'm putting it out next week.
It comes out next week. So I will be, when you hear this, that weekend.
Yes.
I'll be at Crackers in Indianapolis.
Interesting shit coming out?
No. That's just a plug.
Well, what do you got?
Broad Ripple Crackers that week. And Boston... I'm taping a second half hour.
That's great.
For Comedy Central. So it's, nice. We're taping in Boston. So
at the Wilbur. No.
I don't know where they tape it.
That's great.
But Boston motherfuckers that keep emailing me going, when are you coming? We love
you're
O&A.
Coming and you're doing a half hour
I'm
special.
Coming, I'm doing a half hour taping. Please
make sure. Listen,
this.
Here's the deal, guys. Get on these tickets now because they're going to sell out. It's Comedy Central. These shows sell out. If you want to see Joe DeRosa, dangerous fucking Joe. You want to see him tape, not only see him do his special, he's going to tape his special, do a half hour in Beantown, get on it right the fuck now. Don't wait. Don't think you're going to get tickets that night. Go to Comedy Central, Google it, find out how you're going to, you can get the tickets and get your tickets now. Fill that joint with, this is what I want you to do, fill it with Joe's fans so that whoever's on the show with him bombs and Joe kills.
Oh,
that's what I did when I did my half hour.
Good.
Oh, the guy went on before me. Was like, "That's where I am. I'm from Montana." Boo. Where's Fat Bob?
Yeah, I'd love to see you. I think it's a great way to initiate Boston, meaning the first show I'm ever doing there. For it to be this, it's really special. I'd love to have fans there, man. Like it's gonna be electric. And it's,
It's gonna. What the fuck did you just say?
This is what happens when you make me do the podcast when I'm tired and hungry.
I did the perfect thing and you went, it's going to be electric. Oh,
it's going to be a beautiful night.
Don't go.
It's going to be It's going to be a magic the gathering night.
Goodbye. All right, guys. This is YKWD. You know what, dude? Podcast. Thanks for listening. Hey, what's going on? We want to thank our sponsors and our unofficial sponsors here at YKWD. Dude, you guys use Amazon, which I do, for every fucking thing. Go to our site at Riotcast, YKWD, or riotcast.com/Robert Kelly, and use our Amazon link. Whatever you buy, groceries, clothes, electronics, dildos, vibrators, grease, I don't give a shit, whatever it is. Buy it from our link on our website at Amazon. And Amazon's happy, you're happy, and we're happy because we get a little piece of the pie. You want to help out the show? Use our Amazon link on our page at riotcast.com. And if you're a gamer, please sign up for our Gamefly at gamefly.com/YKWD. Again, that's gamefly.com/YKWD. If you're a gamer, it's Netflix of gaming. That's right. You don't have to buy these fucking games anymore and spend all that money. Go try them out. Make sure you like them before you buy them. Or just play them until you're done and fucking get a new one. You can get a free 2-week trial at gamefly.com/YKWD. I suck at this. So make sure you check that out. We want to thank Laugh Button Live, Laughspin, and cringehumor.net, and of course the Comedy Cellar for providing us with this insane studio. Riotcast.com for all the fucking podcast needs. 12 of the funniest fucking shows on the planet are at Riotcast.com. Check out my fellow Riotcast podcasters and join their show. Subscribe and leave reviews. Support us, motherfuckers, and come to our live shows. Go to robertkellylive.com. I am in New York for the rest of the month, except for one date in Tampa coming up at the end of the month. So make sure you check me out. I'm at Albany. I'm in at Gotham. I'm all over the fucking place. So go to my website, check out my dates, and buy tickets. Get a friend, get a girl, get a bunch of people. Come out to the shows and fucking let's laugh together, motherfucker. So that's it. That's it. That's fucking it. That's all I got. Bye. You know what, dude? You stink. You know what, dude?
Don't stop filming my face. Don't stop filming my face. Don't stop.